Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This episode sponsored by Hume. You're eating clean, hitting your workouts, doing everything right. So why does the scale still look the same? Because weight alone can't show fat loss, muscle gain, or real progress. The Hume Body Pod changes that. It tracks 45 body metrics like body fat, muscle mass, hydration, and visceral fat, so you can actually see what's happening inside your body. With 8 sensors and advanced multi-frequency technology, it gives you a full body breakdown in seconds, right from home. You can even track progress by body segment, arms, legs, and core, so nothing gets missed. And inside the app, you'll get personalized insights to help you adjust and improve over time. Stop relying on a number that doesn't tell the whole story. Go to humehealth.com and check out the Hume Body Pod.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad seed, the broken head, the bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad life, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. So can you even believe it? Tom Brady says goodbye to the Patriots with a bunch of posts on Instagram, ending his 20-year run with the Pats, 9 Super Bowls, 6 Super Bowl wins. You can't even make this stuff up. He didn't say where he was going at the time when he did it, but he did say he was leaving, and he hit the open market as a free agent. Everybody thinks it's down to the Buccaneers and the Chargers. The Bucs GM acknowledged interest in Brady and said that the two sides had spoken on Monday. He said there was no conversation since then, and they said that they were waiting on Tom to see what he decides. What Brady has decided is that he's leaving the Patriots. He said, quote, "Although my football journey will take place elsewhere, I appreciate everything that we have achieved and am grateful for our incredible team accomplishments," he wrote on Instagram. Here's what he said. "I wanted to say thank you to all the incredible fans and Patriots supporters. Massachusetts has been my home for 20 years. It has truly been the happiest 2 decades I could have envisioned in my life, and I have nothing but love and gratitude for my time in New England. The support has been overwhelming. I wish every player could experience it. My children were born and raised here, and you always embrace this California kid as your own. I love your commitment and loyalty to your teams, and winning for our city means more than you will ever know. I can't thank you enough for the support of our team, the packed training camps and sold-out stadiums, and mostly the victory parades. I have been so blessed to share them all with you." He said, "I love you, Pats Nation. To all my teammates, coaches, executives, and staff, Coach Belichick, Robert Kraft and the Kraft family, and the entire organization, I want to say thank you for the past 20 years of my life and the daily commitment to winning and creating a winning culture built on great values. I am grateful for all that you have taught me. I have learned from everyone. You've allowed me to maximize my potential, and that is all a player can ever hope for. Everything we have accomplished brings me great joy, and the lessons I've learned will carry on with me forever. I couldn't be the man I am today without the relationships you've allowed me to build with you. I benefited from all you have given me. I cherish every opportunity I had to be part of our team, and I love you all for that. Our team has always set a great standard in pro sports, and I know it'll continue to do just that." He also wrote, "Forever a Patriot." Imagine that. 42 years old, 6 Super Bowl rings, and 41 playoff starts since 2001. Of course, they couldn't cut a deal. in the off season or even during the season in 2019. They made the playoffs, lost in the wild card round. And then he told a radio interview at the time he was open-minded about the process of free agency. Kraft had deferred to Belichick in the negotiations. He had said that he hoped Brady would play for the Pats or retire. Kraft, Belichick, and Brady have been seen as the three, you know, pillars of their run of great success since 2001. Kraft said in an interview, Tommy initiated contact the other night and came over. We had a positive, respectful discussion. It's not the way I wanted it to end, but I want him to do what is in his best personal interest. After 20 years with us, he has earned that right. I love him like a son. After Brady announced he was leaving the Pats on Instagram, Belichick said, quote, Tom and I will always have a great relationship built on love, admiration, respect, and appreciation. Tom's success as a player and his character as a person are exceptional. He called it a privilege to coach Tom Brady for 20 years. Kraft added, while sad today, the overwhelming feeling I have is appreciation for his countless contributions to our team and community. Julian Edelman put out a post. It said, one word, family. Brady's last pass as a Pat will go down as a pick six by former teammate Logan Ryan in the Pats loss to the Titans in the wild card game. But his list of accomplishments are unbelievable. Three NFL MVP awards in 2007, 2010, and 2017, which ties him with Jim Brown, Brett Favre, and Johnny Unitas for second most all-time behind Peyton Manning. 15 Super Bowl records, four Super Bowl MVP awards, a record 13 conference title game appearances, a record 9 conference championships, a record 17 divisional championships. Peyton Manning is second with 12. He led the Pats to at least 12 regular season wins 13 times, the most all time. Became the first 42-year-old quarterback in history to start every game in a regular season. I mean, it really is crazy. Replacing him will be brutal for the Pats. They got cap constraints. Since he reached free agency, they'll have $13.5 million in dead money from his contract in 2020, even though he's going to be on another team. The next QB in line on the team is 23-year-old Jarrett Stidham, a fourth-round draft pick in 2019, who appeared in 3 games last season. After Brady made his announcement, Caesars in Vegas moved the Pats' odds of winning the Super Bowl from 12-1 to 20-1. Here's a news flash for you. They're not winning the Super Bowl, even at 20-1. They have no chance in hell. That's hilarious. You lose Brady, the greatest quarterback ever. You lose Kyle Van Noy. You lose Jamie Collins, just to name a few. And you're going to win the Super Bowl still? Good luck. How did that go for the Patriots this past season when they lost to the Titans at home in the wild card? I mean, is it not obvious enough to you that they were toast then, that the run was over, that they were finished, and that the window had closed, and now Brady's bolting, and you think they're still going to win the Super Bowl? That's hilarious to me. It really is. It should be 60-1 odds for the Patriots. Screw 20-1. Try 60-1. Listen, you got to look at where he might go, right? We've talked about this on Sports Grid a lot, on Coast to Coast a lot. I've done it on podcasts. I've done it on the radio. Before we found out where he was going, people were talking about how it was going to come down to the Bucs and Chargers. Then we found out that he was leaving the Patriots to go down to Tampa Bay and play for the Bucs. Now listen, they offered him $30 million, 2 years, $60 million plus, whatever it is. I don't deny that they have a really exciting roster of talent. I mean, Mike Evans might be one of the best, if not the best, receivers in the game. There's no doubt about it. I've told you the story before, though, that we saw him at the Intercontinental in Los Angeles when they were playing the Rams and staying at the hotel we were at for the Wilder fight. But the guy hadn't cut his toenails in like 5 years. They looked like fangs coming off of his feet. It was the grossest thing I'd ever seen in my life. I will say this, though. The guy can flat out ball, and he can get up there and make catches like nobody's business. So if I were Brady, I'd love to throw to Evans. And they had a defense basically in the last 7-8 weeks of the season. They were the top-ranked defense in the NFL. They actually turned it on like nobody's business, and they were making great plays. And they've re-signed JPP. I mean, they're not a joke. They're no laughing matter. I mean, their record is indicative of the problems that they had with Famous Jameis at quarterback. So he's not going to be the starting quarterback in Tampa. Famous Jameis, those days are over. Brady would be, obviously, and he would play every minute. He'll be 43 when he plays, and I think Bruce Arians is a great coach. There's no doubt about that. So there are reasons to believe that it would be an enticing situation for Brady, right, in Tampa with the Buccaneers. My feeling is the Los Angeles situation is just simply better. You got the Chargers and Rams going into SoFi Stadium, the Shangri-La of NFL stadiums. When they open this thing up in Inglewood, it is going to be truly unbelievable. The place is going to have everything. It's gigantic. It's going to have shops, hotels, restaurants, bars, the whole deal. Literally everything's going to be happening in this area around Inglewood. And it's just going to be like nothing the league has ever seen before. I mean, Mercedes in Atlanta and the new one in Vegas for the Raiders, they're all impressive stadiums. There's no reason to believe that they won't be successful as well. The one in Vegas is simply badass, but it may be nicer or as nice of a stadium as SoFi in L.A., but the one in L.A. truly is going to be an experience like no other. The T-Mobile Arena in Vegas, where the Knights play, around that area is really the most amazing development you've ever seen, with the shops and bars, restaurants, party area, concerts, the whole deal. It's all happening there. They got everything going. And it is a blast going there for events, whether it's UFC, whether it's boxing, whether it's hockey. It's really cool. And the one in LA, in Inglewood, is going to be the same thing. At that level, if not even higher. So look at it this way. The Chargers certainly have talent. They got receivers in Allen and Williams. They have the goods. They have a nice roster. But the bottom line is this. I mean, who cares if they don't? I mean, the bottom line is new stadium, big money he's going to make playing for him. Red carpet. I mean, obviously they are going to roll it out for this guy. He's got his production company in Lipstick City that he just started. 199 Productions. He was the 199th pick in the draft, sixth round. And so a lot of his interests are going to be in Los Angeles. Certainly Hollywood, Beverly Hills, the whole deal, Rodeo Drive, they're all going to be after him. If he's out in L.A., he gets all that. If he's in Tampa, he gets all that, but not the same way. I mean, they simply do not have that lifestyle in Tampa. They have the weather. It's nice in Tampa. The Gulf Coast is awesome, and he'll certainly not be lacking for a tan. But Tampa Bay is no Los Angeles. And I can tell you firsthand, I lived in Siesta Key in Sarasota, an hour south of Tampa. I've been to Tampa a million times. And Tampa is the furthest thing from Los Angeles that you can shake a stick at. The bottom line is, LA is bigger, LA is nicer, LA is unbelievable. It's the second biggest city in the country. That's all there is to it. And to me, all that matters in the world, let's face facts, in terms of gigantic entertainment centers, are New York and Los Angeles. People say Chicago, that's fine. Keep telling yourself that. It's LA and New York. That's all there is to it. And if he's out there with his production company and he's out there playing football for the last couple of years of his career, let's say 43, 44, he says he wants to play until he's 45. If he does a three-year deal, then he's going to play there, finish his career there, and then live there. He's been living in Boston and New York City. Basically, he has a pad in New York City for the last 20 years, right? But he's a California kid. He even said it himself. I think there were people that thought he wanted to play for the 49ers, right? And that didn't come about. They're sticking with Garoppolo. So the next best thing is the Chargers. And if it's true that they're offering him the same kind of money or even maybe more money than Tampa, even if it's the same, I'm taking the Charger gig if I'm him. With what I have going on, lifestyle, family, supermodel wife, she's an unbelievable earner. She makes tons of money. She's one of the biggest names in the world. And he grew up there. His kids will love it. When I go to San Diego in the summer surfing in La Jolla, Huntington Beach, it's just simply badass there. And I love Tampa. It's cool. But it's literally a speck compared to Southern California. I mean, as far as I'm concerned. Now, I know it's crazy in Southern California and crowded and everything else. But if you're making the money he's going to be making, and if you have the money that he's already made, and you have that lifestyle of the rich and famous, which is what he is, and his wife, he can do whatever he wants in Los Angeles. He can leave on a yacht. He can have his own Cessna. Believe it or not, his own helicopter. I know people get all sketchy about helicopters now after Kobe, but tons of these athletes still take them, and they're not going to stop taking them because one of them went down. That was highly unfortunate and terrible, but I don't think it's going to stop these multimillionaires from flying in helicopters and their own planes and everything else. Does it stop Floyd Mayweather from flying around the world in his plane? No, and it won't stop Tom Brady. He doesn't have to sit on the 405 all day in traffic if he doesn't want to. And in terms of marketability and sponsors and the face of a franchise in their new stadium, SoFi, I mean, let's face facts. Everybody already thinks it's the Rams' town. Everybody already thinks that the Chargers don't matter. Everybody already thinks, oh, the Chargers were playing in the soccer stadium. They don't even have 30,000 fans. I guarantee you, if Tom Brady plays for the Chargers, they're going to be bigger than the Rams in terms of news and popularity and attention, and having a guy like that as your franchise quarterback, you are going to be on the map no matter what. I mean, if he's playing for the Chargers, ESPN and all the rest of them are going to be all over him like stink on Shaq. Guaranteed that. And I'll tell you what, the Rams, Goff and company, McVay, remember they kept telling you he's a genius and he's smarter than everybody. Yeah, how did that work out in the Super Bowl for McVay? He said he coached him too much. That's laughable. How about they got their ass beat? How does that sound? By guess who? Tom Brady. So if he ends up in L.A. with the Chargers, he's going to steal the Rams' thunder in that stadium. You know, they're sharing the stadium. The Rams and Chargers are sharing the stadium. And it's just like the Giants and Jets. The Giants are more popular than the Jets 6 ways till Sunday. It doesn't matter if they have Sam Darnold. The Kid Jones and the Big Blue are all that matter in that stadium. Everybody knows it. In this town, it's the Yankees and the Giants. And really, it's the Knicks over the Nets. And it's the Rangers over the Islanders and Devils. And that's all there is to it. Same thing in L.A. It'll be Tom Brady first and everybody else second. That's how that'll play out. I can't believe he chose Tampa over the Chargers. You got to be kidding me. I thought the Chargers situation was way better than going to play in Tampa based on everything that I just rolled out for you, like the red carpet he'll be walking on in Lipstick City. Tampa doesn't have any of that. Tampa's nice, beaches, Clearwater Beach, everything else, sunshine, and then plenty of crime to go with it. I mean, Tampa's got nothing compared to Los Angeles in terms of celebrity, and that's all there is to it. LA's got it all. LA matters. LA is where everything happens in movies, television, the Oscars, everything else. And what do they have in Tampa besides nothing? They don't do any of that in Tampa. Yeah, the Lightning are cool. How about the Devil Rays? Nobody goes to Rays games. I mean, ever. The Tampa Rays are a disaster. Their indoor stadium's a disaster, and they're trapped there. And that's all there is to it. I mean, all you do down in Tampa is blue hair specials, get old, and go golfing, and go to the beach. You can have that, because in L.A., you can get all of that, too. You got sunshine, tan, everything's beautiful there. Year-round, 300-plus days of sunshine a year. What is there, like a week of bad weather a year combined? 2 weeks maximum? L.A. kicks Tampa's ass. No offense to anybody in Tampa, but it's true.
Tom, I can't believe you're making me go live in Tampa instead of Hollywood. I hate you forever. Tom, I'll never sleep with you again after you're making me move to dreaded Tampa over Hollywood and Beverly Hills. I hate you forever. Holy, 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 holy. Your own children don't love you anymore for choosing Tampa over Los Angeles. You're a phony.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Now, I know I've gone down this before, the road about Tom Brady, but he really is worth talking about as much as possible. In fact, I always talked about Tom Brady on my radio show. I tried to do it every day of my life, and it's important that I keep doing that. I think that as long as he's on this earth, and as long as he's relevant and playing in the NFL, which is what he will be in his new job, then we should talk about him as much as possible. And that means, yes, every day. So here's the deal. It's amazing that when this guy does something, the whole world literally takes notice. And then when other people of similar ilk, the guys like Cam Newton and Teddy Bridgewater, etc., and I had mentioned famous Jameis, guys like this that do the same job, right? Even others, you know, like Case Keenum, nobody cares about. But really, at the end of the day, none of those guys, you know, Drew Brees, I guess, gets some relative importance in terms of his stock is a lot higher than those other guys. In fact, Drew Brees just inked his new two-year deal. It's like $50 million. And he did it to give the Saints a break and so they could sign other players. And then it just kind of went away like a fart. They announced it and then it just passed like gas. And no one really cared and no one did anything about it. They didn't stop ESPN and spend a big chunk of the day talking about Drew Brees, because what they do is they only do that for Tom Brady. Tom Brady gets full-scale, all-day type reporting. It just never ends. So they'll dedicate everything to him. And then nobody else gets anything mentioned about him other than their puny little deals. So one of the deals is that the Panthers, they're getting Teddy Bridgewater. He's going to be their quarterback. And that Cam Newton is leaving Carolina. And they're working on a trade to get rid of him. And you wonder where he's going to go. And that got about 5 minutes of attention. But Brady announces that he's leaving the Patriots, and he gets literally all day attention, like the whole day. Literally, Tom Brady gets more attention than the coronavirus. People are trapped in their homes. They're self-quarantining, whatever you want to call it, social distancing. Nobody's doing anything. Nobody's going anywhere. You can only pick up food or have it delivered to you. You got to sit at home all day with your family and you basically are losing your mind. But Tom Brady is bigger than all of that. You know, the world's ending and yet Tom Brady is making plans for a new gig. So people are worried about dying. People are worried about getting the coronavirus, but more people are worried about Tom Brady. Tom Brady surpasses the world ending. Tom Brady gets more attention than the coronavirus. Tom Brady gets more news than the president of the United States and all of his minions, like the Dr. Fauci from the disease center, Mr. Know Everything About Infectious Diseases. And then all the other people that are always talking for him, like Mike Pence. He's kind of a tool anyway. We don't want to hear from him. And then Trump talks about how it's not a big deal and they got it all under control and don't worry about anything. As the stock market is crashing, a recession is happening. And then Fauci, the doctor, and all of his doctor friends that are up on every press conference are talking about how it's just rampant, the coronavirus, and out of control. But Tom Brady just completely devours all of that news. Maybe it's because people love Tom Brady more than life itself. I think that it's important to realize his greatness. Tom Brady, even in his elder statesman position at 43 going into the season, he's old and allegedly you should be washed up by then, but he's going to be signing a new deal to play for two or three more years, and he is going to be more popular with women and children and men than anyone in the history of the free world. No one cares at all that they can't leave their house. No one cares at all that the kids can't go to school. No one cares at all that there's no sports. No one cares at all that there's not going to be any sports forever and that it's going to be weeks and weeks and months and everything else before they get back to playing NBA and baseball's looking like June, July start. Hockey. Think about it. What are they going to have? The NBA Finals in August or September? And what about the Stanley Cup? Same thing? Or how's that going to work out? Baseball. Are they going to play 162 games? How can they do that when they start in June or July? I mean, it's a disaster. Everything. Premier League, Champions League, boxing, UFC finally came around. But no one stops anything when it's death because of the COVID-19, no, Tom Brady supersedes all of that. No one seems to care about their health at all as long as Tom Brady is in the news. Tom Brady has better looking children than yours. I mean, they really are. His kids are gorgeous. His wife is gorgeous. He has everything, and you think you have everything. He actually does have everything. He stops the world dead in its tracks like the hantavirus, except the hantavirus is killing everyone, and Tom Brady just makes everyone happy. Even people that hate Tom Brady like him. They may hate him, but they're still talking about him. And usually if you hate people, you talk bad about them for a little while, and then eventually you just stop talking about them and wish ill will on them. With Tom Brady, you hate him and you just keep talking about him. He's always on your mind. And he has everything, all the deals. You know, he's doing TV appearances, movies. Now he's got a production company. He does commercials. He's got endorsements out the yin. Now you got to think about it this way. When he leaves Boston, and he leaves the Patriots in Foxborough. And what do they have left? Stidham, that's going to be their quarterback, the kid they drafted in 2019. So he played three games, so he's the future. We know that, but is he ready for that gig already? Right now, he's going to start playing, and that's that. Or do they consider guys like Andy Dalton and Cam Newton? So Cam Newton says he didn't want to be traded from Carolina, but they're signing Teddy Bridgewater, so they are going to trade him. And would you trade him if you were Carolina to the Patriots? Why not? The question is, will the Patriots trade for him? Does Bill Belichick think he can put up with Cam Newton's nonsense and all of his fashion and everything else? does Bill Belichick think he can turn that guy into the type of quarterback he needs to run his offense at Gillette and on the road and in the system and the Patriot way? Can he make Cam Newton that kind of a quarterback? I think that, you know, I love Cam Newton. I'm a Cam Newton fan. I think the guy's a badass. I think he's had bad luck. I think he's had a shoulder injury, and then he breaks a bone in his foot, the Lisfranc. I mean, these are things that happen. Guys get injured all the time. But I still think he's a great quarterback, and he's done great things. I've already had podcasts about this. I think the guy's a flat-out stud. But I think, in all actuality, if I were going to do a deal, the one that would seem to work more for me would not be his flash and his pizzazz and his cockiness and the way he holds himself, Cam Newton. I think the guy that makes more sense from the standpoint of Bill Belichick and what type of coach he is and what kind of ruler he is would be Andy Dalton. I think that Andy Dalton would fit that mold better than Cam Newton. I would rather have Cam Newton as a quarterback than Andy Dalton 6 ways till Sunday. But I think that Bill Belichick would rather deal with Andy Dalton. And I think that he believes that Andy Dalton is young enough still and smart enough still and has started enough in the NFL and done enough in the NFL to adapt to that gig like they had Hoyer as a backup. Andy Dalton is better than Hoyer. And I think that Andy Dalton could fit in New England like a glove the more I think about it. Now, Bridgewater's deal is a 3-year deal in the $60 million range with the Panthers. As for Cam, about the whole thing, he said on Instagram, "Stop with the wordplay. I never asked for this. There's no dodging this. I love the Panthers to death and will always love you guys. Please do not try and play me or manipulate the narrative and act like I wanted this. You forced me into this. Love, Cam." So there you go. So Cam Newton saying that the Panthers did this to him, and I don't put it past Tepper or the new regime with Matt Rhule to do this. I think they want Teddy Bridgewater, and I think Teddy did a really good job for Breeze when he played in New Orleans, but I'm not buying that Teddy Bridgewater is better than Cam Newton. I think Cam's a better quarterback when healthy than Ted Bridgewater. That's all there is to it. And I think they got him for 3 years and $60 million, which isn't bad when you think about it, $20 million a pop. If he does well, if he goes off, if he gets him to the playoffs, let's say at least 2 of the 3 years. The first year, they're in a rebuild right now. So how about not this year, but next year, he gets them in at least a wild card. And then in the third year, they should win the South and get the playoff spot and maybe a bye. So if you're going to sign him, that's what you want, is success, right? You're not just signing him to lose for 3 years, are you? Listen, I'll say this. I don't think Teddy Bridgewater is winning a Super Bowl in Carolina. And I don't think Andy Dalton, if he got a job with Bill Belichick, would win a Super Bowl in New England. But I think that he could make them a playoff team. I actually believe at the end of the day that the Bills are going to end up being a better team than the Patriots in the AFCs for the first time in forever. The Patriots have dominated that division now for 20 years. We all know it. Everyone's gotten used to it, right? But I think those days are coming to an end. And the Bills just keep getting better. I thought Allen did a great job. I thought that Josh Allen did an incredible job with the Bills at quarterback, and the team just keeps getting better and better. And then they make a deal to acquire Stephon Diggs from the Vikings for multiple draft choices, including a first-round pick. That's a gigantic deal for Buffalo. They just keep getting better and better and more loaded. And frankly, by the day, the Bills GM, Brandon Bean, was very active. He agreed to send the Bills first-round pick, a fifth-round pick, and a sixth-round pick in 2020, and their fourth-round pick in 21 to the Vikings for Diggs and a 27th-round pick. And it means a lot of things for Buffalo. Their championship window is now wide open. It's here and now. They're going for it. Bean always said he didn't think the team was one player away. He said you lose the first round of the playoffs, and that doesn't say to me that the Bills are one player away from being exactly where we want to be. But that's definitely a position that we're going to look at to see if we can find some more talent. And that position was receiver. So he accomplished that, and that is a gigantic snag. Both John Brown and Cole Beasley had career seasons in their first year with the Bills in 2019. But Diggs is a badass, bona fide number one receiver, and everybody knows it. The guy has recorded at least 720 receiving yards in each of his five seasons in the league, including over 2,150 yards and 15 TDs on 165 catches the last two seasons alone. And his playmaking ability added to that passing offense that ranked 26th in 2019. So Brown and Beasley did a good job, but their passing game was still average at best. Now you get a badass in Diggs and add Brown and Beasley to the mix. They become more effective. They become more dangerous because you got to worry about Diggs. That means Brown and Beasley are going to have more opportunities to burn teams and make big plays. Diggs is going to fit in with the aspects of Allen's game. I mean, this guy continues to get better with his intermediate passing game and his deep ball. And we all know that he can throw, but he had trouble throwing the bombs. But he was in his second year. He threw 20 or more yards downfield at the fourth highest rate in the NFL. But at the same time, he had the third worst completion percentage on deep bombs in the league. And that's bad. But Diggs had the second most receptions on throws 20 or more yards downfield last season in the league. The bottom line is most scouts and coaches think that Diggs will make up for Allen's inaccuracies throwing the deep ball. That Diggs will be able to come back and make catches and make plays and make Allen throw the ball better deep because Diggs will be able to find the rock in the air no matter where it is. The guy's got massive skill and hops and speed. You know that Allen is licking his chops. It's going to be his favorite target, Diggs, moving forward. And he'll be their top receiver. That's all there is to it. He was the top guy in Minnesota with Adam Thielen being right there. It didn't matter. Diggs was still the man.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't think that Diggs had a problem with Minnesota. I think he was not that into the scene with the Vikings and Cousins. And meanwhile, they just signed Cousins to another gigantic extension in Minnesota. They absolutely love him. He's all that matters to them. Diggs wants to matter, and he's going to matter in Buffalo. Before the trade, the Bills owned 2 5th-round picks and 3 6th-round picks in the 20 draft. They got them last offseason by trading 2 players that were going to be cut, Wyatt Teller and Russell Bodine. So you had that. Plus, Diggs has 4 years left on a contract that's below market value. And the GM, being as said, he doesn't think that there's a player in the draft that he could add as a receiver that's better than Diggs. And he's right. Now, what about the deal in Dallas for Amari Cooper? He got a 5-year, $100 million deal. Now, they already have Dak for 2020 with the exclusive franchise tag. I know a lot of people are saying that he should hold out and not play the entire season. I don't think that's going to happen. The Cowboys want them both to play. Cooper became the second highest paid receiver in the league in annual average after Julio Jones, who makes $22 million a season. Cooper's deal includes $60 million guaranteed money. The Redskins had tried to pry Cooper away from Dallas, but the Cowboys re-signed him. Word has it that the offer the Redskins made would have put him at right around the same money as Julio Jones, but he decided to stay with the Cowboys. I guess he meant it when he said he loved being a Cowboy. Last summer, the Cowboys made Zeke the highest paid running back, and in order to get Prescott to sign a long-term deal, they're going to have to make him the highest paid quarterback in the league, over $35 million a year. And that's what Russell Wilson is making. One of the problems that they're having now is that Prescott wants a 4-year deal and the Cowboys are asking for a 5-year deal. So under the franchise tag rules, the Cowboys have until July 15th to sign Prescott to a multi-year deal, or he's going to have to play the season under the tag. By placing the exclusive tag, which is expected to be worth $30 million to $33 million on Prescott, the Cowboys have prevented other teams from signing him. It's the 4th time since 2014 the Cowboys have used the franchise designation. It's the first time they've used it on a quarterback. As for Cooper, since he came from the Raiders in a trade for a first-round pick back in 2018, he helped transform the passing game for the boys. In 2019, he caught 79 passes for 1,189 yards and a career-high 8 touchdowns. He was named to the Pro Bowl for the 4th time in his career. Cooper is going to turn 26 in mid-June. He was on pace for one of the best seasons by a receiver in team history through the first 9 games, including a 226-yard game against Green Bay, but then his numbers dropped off significantly. He caught just 26 grabs for 341 yards and a TD in the last 7 games, and in Week 12 against the Pats, he was held without a catch for the first time since he joined Dallas. How about the Raiders? They agreed to a deal with former Titans QB Marcus Mariota. He's 26. He'll be number 2 on the depth chart, and he's going to push Derek Carr for sure. And the Vegas Review Journal broke the story, of course, about Mariota. Remember, he was the 2nd overall pick in the 2015 draft. He lost his job to Ryan Tannehill this past season when he was 2-4. In 5 seasons, he totaled over 13,000 passing yards, 76 TDs, and 44 picks. So, I mean, believe it or not, at the end of the day, I think the Raiders are going to be fairly solid at quarterback. New stadium in Sin City. Fans are going to be going crazy for the Raiders. They're going to love them there. There's going to be a euphoria early on, and they're going to have Carr and Mariota. I don't think it's the worst quarterback setup I've ever seen. There's been other deals. Chase Daniel agreed to a 3-year deal with the Lions. He was with the Bears. It's $13 million. Ben Roethlisberger restructured his deal with the salary cap overhaul. I can't wait to see him just play football. The 38-year-old signed a 2-year extension worth $68 million last year, and his cap charge for the 20 season was set to be a whopping $33.5 million. He was due an $8.5 million salary base along with $12.5 million protected bonus and $12.5 million roster bonus this season. To free up space, the Steelers can move some of that bonus money now to the 21 season. They also restructured the contract at cornerback Joe Hayden, who was awesome for the Steelers last year. And they restructured the contracts of tight end Vance McDonald, kicker Chris Boswell, and cornerback Steve Nelson. They got rid of linebacker Anthony Chiquillo. That saved them $15 million. Linebacker Mark Barron and receiver Johnny Holton. And then they had the retirement of offensive lineman Ramon Foster. Of course, they had announced already that they were placing their 20 franchise tag on outside linebacker Bud Dupree for $15.8 million earlier in the week, putting the team $5.6 million over the $198.2 million salary cap. Texans backup quarterback A.J. McCarron has re-signed with the team. He turns 30 in September, so he got a new deal. I still cannot believe they got rid of Hopkins in a trade to Arizona. That was the dumbest move I've seen in the offseason, without a doubt. Far and away, the worst transaction by any NFL team. How do you get rid of a guy that's your entire team? I know they got Watkins at quarterback, but that guy Hopkins, he is special, and they let him go? You got to be kidding me. Bears landed tight end Jimmy Graham. It's a 2-year, $16 million deal. The Bears also expected to sign pass rusher Robert Quinn, and they are releasing 2016 first-round pick Leonard Floyd. Quinn, who led the Cowboys in sacks last year, opted to go to the Bears over the Falcons. His deal with the Bears is for 5 years and $70 million with $30 million fully guaranteed. Quinn will be 30 in mid-May. He led the Cowboys with 11.5 sacks in 2019. So I think it's a gigantic deal that the Colts are cutting a fat one with Phillip Rivers to be their next quarterback. My buddy Jason Lockenfour of CBS made that news. Indy's been linked to Rivers for some time now. He's 38, and it looks like he's found his new home. He'd be reunited with the Colts offensive coordinator, Nick Sirianni, who spent 5 seasons as an offensive assistant with the Chargers. Of course, Rivers played there from 04 to 2019. Colts coach Frank Reich was the offensive coordinator for 2 seasons with the Chargers as well and spent 3 years with Rivers in San Diego. So in other words, they love him. When Reich was the Chargers quarterbacks coach in 2013, Rivers led the NFL by completing 69% of his passes, the highest completion percentage of his career, along with throwing for 4,470 yards and 32 TDs that season. Rivers also took care of the football, throwing just 11 picks while earning Pro Bowl honors. Obviously, part of their problems were at quarterback. Jacoby Brissett, who started 15 games, he was 7-8, and he completed 60% of his passes for 2,900 yards, 18 TDs, 6 picks. He had an 88.0 passer rating. He didn't throw a touchdown pass, nor for over 200 yards in the last 3 games he played. He finished with a passer rating lower than 70 on all 3 of those games. In Rivers' last season with the Chargers, he still completed 66% of his passes for 4,600 yards, 23 TDs, and he played in all 16 games for the 14th consecutive season. The guy always plays. Well, he finished fourth in the NFL in passing yards. He finished third in the NFL with 20 picks and had an 88.5 passer rating. His touchdown percentage of 3.9 was his lowest since becoming the Chargers starter in 06. And his adjusted net yards gained per pass attempt, 7.1, was the lowest since 2012. He is currently sixth all-time with over 59,000 passing yards, sixth in touchdowns with 397. His 224 consecutive regular season starts are the second most all-time. You can't deny his durability. So I think I've talked enough about the NFL for one Pharrell on a Bench podcast. How about this one? With Mexican superstar Canelo Alvarez having already delayed the announcement for his May super middleweight title bout against Billy Joe Saunders due to the coronavirus outbreak, the four division champ has reportedly come to terms on the opponent he will face later this fall. Guess who it is? Alvarez will square off with fellow middleweight title holder Gennady Golovkin in another fight. It's the trilogy bout. We've already seen it twice. Golden Boy has said they've cut a deal to fight Golovkin again. They want to have the fight September 12th during Mexican Independence Day weekend inside AT&T Stadium outside of Dallas. I've been there for a Spence fight with Mikey Garcia. I love Jerry's World. It's badass. Of course, Canelo, 29, holds the WBA middleweight title and secondary WBA belt at 168. He's expected to fight Saunders, even if the fight is pushed off to June from its original date of May 2nd in Vegas. Should the planned fight with Saunders not reach its June destination point, Alvarez could bypass the fight altogether and head straight toward the Triple G trilogy fight in the fall. Golovkin and Alvarez have had a huge dislike for one another. Failed drug tests, pair of pay-per-view bouts that were hailed as instant classics. Alvarez settled for a split draw in their 2017 meeting in which many believe, including me, that Triple G won the fight. A year later, Alvarez took a majority decision that could have gone either way. So everybody thinks that Canelo can't be beat. I thought Golovkin beat him. Alvarez, who's feuded publicly with Golden Boy and De La Hoya over the last year, apparently cut a deal with him for extra compensation to take the fight, which exceeded the base guarantee being paid to him by DAZN after he signed the landmark 10-fight, $350 million deal with the streaming service. Golovkin will be 38 by the time they fight for a third time this fall and has shown signs of slipping since the loss to Alvarez, despite hanging on to win a fight last October against Derevyanchenko. It was a brutal fight for the vacant IBF title. Of course, Canelo's coming off wins over Daniel Jacobs and Crusher Kovalev. That fight was in November of 2019 to claim a title at 175 that he later vacated. So there you go. Trilogy fights. We get nothing but trilogy fights. Of course, we're going to see Fury Wilder 3 in the summer in Vegas at the Grand Garden Arena. And now Triple G Canelo, the trilogy. It never ends. There's no fights that are kick-ass anymore that we haven't seen. You know, first-time fights that would be awesome. All we see is these guys fighting the same guys over and over and over, and it gets a little old and stale, doesn't it? I don't even want to go to that Wilder Fury 3. Fury beat his ass in Vegas at that fight I was just at. It was embarrassing. That should have been over in the third round. Then in the fifth, he knocked him down. In the seventh, they threw in the towel. Wilder got his ass beat. What's going to be different in the third fight besides nothing? And by the way, finally the UFC came around from their stupid thinking. They pushed back on the idea of canceling events in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic, but the UFC has pulled the plug on their next three events. The UFC will be officially closing its doors through March 31st at their offices in Vegas with employees working from home. UFC Fight Night 171 was originally scheduled to take place in London on Saturday. First, they had to change the venue because of travel problems with Leon Edwards and Tyrone Woodley. Edwards would not be able to make the trip to the U.S., leaving the UFC scrambling for a replacement and trying to construct an undercard on short notice before the event was finally canceled. UFC on ESPN 8 and UFC Fight Night 172 had both been planned to take place in the UFC's Apex facility on March 28th and April 11th, respectively, having been moved from their originally scheduled locations as restrictions were put into place for large gatherings. However, the Nevada State Athletic Commission revoked any fight licensing through March 25 when they will meet again on those issues. Those fights were also looking for new locations. As of now, UFC 249 is planned to go ahead, and with it, the highly anticipated fight between Khabib Nurmagomedov and Tony Ferguson, although it may not take place at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn as originally scheduled, according to an email sent out by the company. Over the last weekend, the UFC had their Fight Night 170 in Brasilia, Brazil, utilizing an empty arena. And it's the same thing that WWE did in recent weeks to keep gathering sizes down and then trying to move ahead with their events anyway. So there you go. A ton of NFL news. I can't wait to see Rivers play for the Colts and Teddy play for Carolina. I can't wait to see where Cam goes. If I could see the Chargers going after Cam Newton. I can't wait for all of that. I'm not excited about Triple G Canelo. I'm not excited about Fury Wilder 3, the trilogy fights on both of those, and the UFC news. I thought you needed all that fight news, too, here on Pharrell on the Bench. Shake it, who?
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.